Hello, and welcome to Together Talk, where we connect with other financial planners and professionals on how to help you worry less and enjoy more. Today, we are discussing taxes and charitable giving with Denny Axman. I hope you enjoy our conversation, and thank you for listening. Denny, thank you very much for speaking with us today. We are trying to make our clients more aware of some of the experts that we bring in from time to time to help us with complicated planning issues. And I can't think of anyone who's more of an expert on estate planning, business planning, and retirement planning than you. So very appropriate to have you with us today. Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Oh, sure, Judd. It's my pleasure.
So I thought that it would be a great idea if maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you do for folks like me and your background with helping people with complicated estate planning and business planning issues. Obviously had a very productive career, you might say. So could you just tell our clients a little bit about your background and how you got to be the expert that you are?
Well, sure, Judd. As you know, I've been in our profession for 49 years. It'll be 50 years in December of this year. So I'm certainly looking forward to that anniversary. And during those 49 years, I've had the opportunity for probably 44, 45 of those years to focus my whole practice in the area of estate, business, and retirement planning. And obviously, there's a lot of umbrellas that, and other areas under that umbrella that are covered in those broad descriptions, but that's the world that I've lived in and built my practice around education for all those years in that arena. I actually also was an adjunct instructor for 5 years for the American College located in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, where I was a backup to some of the professors for the estate planning and retirement planning courses for the CFP, COU, and CHSC designations. I have my practice in Jacksonville. I sold it in 2006 and started doing consulting work, like what I'm doing with you and your practice and firm now, currently. So I'm sort of there to help you to be able to ascertain whatever advanced planning issues, or sometimes it can be just basic planning questions that come up that you may want a second opinion on. And that's my role, is to help you help your clients and serve them even on a broader scale. So that's the whole purpose of what I do, Judd.
One thing that you mentioned to me, and really the reason that we wanted to have our conversation today, we have had some clients that have been surprised when they did their tax returns this year because of some changes that occurred with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. Which actually affected people's taxes last year, and that some of the deductions, such as charitable contributions, giving to their church or other charities, it was no longer deductible, and their standard deduction was higher than the amount of their deductions that they were used to in the past. So at the end of the day, although I'm sure they still want to support their church, it didn't really help them from a tax perspective. And I think you had some ideas that you shared with me about ways that potentially our clients could contribute to their churches or charities and be able to benefit tax-wise as well. So could you share with us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Sure, Judd, I'd be happy to. Of course, as most of us are aware, President Trump signed into law back on December 22nd, actually, 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. And what this did was created a whole new tax legislation program, of which there are two parts to it, the individual side and the business side, the corporate side. Today, of course, we're going to be focusing on the individual side. And most everything in this arena is set to what we call sunset, just go back to the other laws, on December 31st, 2025. That's when the prior law will apply on and after that date. So January 1st on of 2026 will be back under the 2017 tax laws. At least that's the way the law is written. and that's where it's we're supposed to go at this point. And as you so well pointed out, our standard deductions on our 1040s doubled with this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act between now and, as I said, December 31st, 2025. And so consequently, many folks were kind of surprised when they went to their CPA or their tax advisor to complete their 1040 this year for 2018 tax year and found that they couldn't use the deduction that they had been using for perhaps in some cases many, many years in the past. So obviously they gave to their church, synagogue, or charitable organization, and the organization received the funds and all that was good. But, you know, the helping of the individual from a secondary benefit here of charitable giving, which is the income tax deduction that we enjoy on these types of gifts during our life. So one of the tools that we use, a strategy to help kind of work around this loss of that itemized deduction, is an area that many people who are over 70 and a half years of age, they are required, of course, to take the required minimum distributions from their IRAs. And many folks have told us over the years that they really don't need that income, but they're forced to take it. So they usually take it, pay the tax on it, and do whatever they need to do with it. But one good strategy that a client may want to give consideration to and talk to their tax attorney or their CPA or tax advisor, as well as Judd, you, and your team and myself helping you help them, then this is in the area of what's called a qualified charitable distribution. And this is where, by law, we're allowed to have up to a maximum of $100,000 taken from our IRA and directly transferred to a charitable organization of our choice. It could be our church, synagogue, charitable hospital, whatever. But it must be, obviously, a certified charitable organization. So consequently, what happens when we do this, that money does not appear on our 1040 at all because it's a direct transfer. So therefore, we're going to be able to reduce the balance in our account. The amount distributed to the charity meets our required minimum distribution credits for that year, so we don't have to take another distribution in that year. And it will help reduce the RMDs, the required minimum distribution, in the future because the principal is going down by the amount of our qualified charitable distribution. So something that a client that's in that situation may want to do is talk to you about this. And the reason they want to do that, in addition to helping their charity and the tax transfer here so that nothing hits their 1040, is the fact that the taxable portion of their individual Social Security payments is calculated based on your AGI, your adjusted gross income. And if that money that transfers to the charity on a qualified charitable distribution doesn't hit our 1040, it doesn't affect possibly the additional taxation of Social Security, as well as our Medicare Part B premiums, capital gains tax, qualified dividends, and all that sort of thing on a federal level are avoided. So certainly some considerations there in terms of a charitable gift. The idea is that they're going to, you know, a client's going to gift to their church or synagogue or charitable organization anyway. Mm-hmm. And if they really don't need the RMD, that might be one way to be able to take care of the organization and help themselves at the same time.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I bet you that now that this is becoming more commonly understood, that people that are over the age of 70 are having to take out required minimum distributions from their IRA anyway, and maybe they were just taking that money and using it to help with their income needs, pay their bills, because they were getting a deduction before for contributing to their church or charity. Now they might just take that required minimum distribution and send it straight to their charity and be able to save a little money in taxes that way.
That's right. So they're helping their charity or church, and they're helping themselves and their family as well, you know, from a tax perspective.
So, and if they're still earning money and they are claiming Social Security, this is a way for them to lower their taxable income and potentially lower their tax bill and their Social Security earnings.
Yes, sir. It certainly has the potential to do just that. And also their Medicare Part B premium, which is based on your AGI. There's a two-year lag there, but it would certainly help in that area as well, Judd.
Well, that sounds great, Denny. While we're on the subject, do you know of any other topics for potentially contributing to charities or churches that might be worth considering when people are considering their tax situation as well this year?
Sure, Judd. Yes, we certainly have a lot of tools in our toolbox as financial planners that we can work with them in the area of charitable giving. And, of course, obviously the client must want to make the charitable gift. So they have to have some type of compassion for those in need. Could be that there's a religious or spiritual commitment to a church or an organization. To enhance one's legacy, their beliefs, values, and ideals is many reasons why people make a charitable gift, and a desire just to simply share one's good fortune with other people. So depending upon the reason that the client wants to maybe consider making a charitable gift during their lifetime, there can be a desire, can be a desire to help share one's good fortune with others, but whatever the reason, our U.S. tax laws are designed to encourage charitable giving. And we have certain tax advantages, income tax advantages, on a federal level that we can obtain from making these types of gifts. Now, some people prefer just to make an outright gift of cash or a valuable asset to their favorite charity, although they would like to make an outright gift, but they might be depending on their income from these assets during their daily life. So those types of donors may want to wait until they die and then have the assets transferred to a charity, what we call testamentary, through a will or a trust at death. Now, of course, there's no income tax deduction there because you've died and had the gift passed after your death. But if you need it during your lifetime, you've got it, and it can go to the charity at death. And there is obviously an estate tax deduction for that type of transfer. But there are some methods that will allow a donor to make the gift now and retain some interest in that gift for the rest of their life. And we refer to these as split interest gifts. And these are arrangements that would provide for an income stream back to the client. And then the remainder interest, whatever's left over when the client dies, goes to whoever their favorite charity or charities may be. These tools are called Charitable Remainder Annuity Trust, Charitable Remainder Unit Trust, Charitable Gift Annuities, and Pooled Income Funds. And again, we take a look at the client's assets and liabilities. We look at their income stream, as you know, Judd, to determine if they need additional fixed retirement income or variable retirement income. And if they're charitably inclined, this might be certainly a way for them to help themselves, their family, as well as their favorite charity or charities during their lifetime. Now, we do, typically with the IRS, we do have certain limitations on charitable deductions, and we can actually take a deduction of up to 60% of our AGI, adjusted gross income, and we can carry the unused portions of that forward for up to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of time that the deduction could be utilized. And lastly, last tool that I can think of in this arena is what we call a donor advised fund. And I know that the clients can talk to you about these, that your firm offers these types of funds to the client. And this is where they can have not control, but they can have a little say-so as to where that money goes and when it goes. So, yes, in answer to your question, Judd, we have plenty of tools in the toolbox that we can work with clients in this arena on and help you help your clients.
Well, it's great that you're so knowledgeable on this, Denny. You can keep all this straight. And I think that being able to gift monies and do it in such a way that is also tax beneficial is going to be an important topic that we'll want to continue to talk to our clients about. So it's good to know that there's still some things that can be done, even though the tax laws changed last year and folks are starting to see it now. So, Denny, thank you very much for your time and all your commitment to me professionally. I really appreciate all the help over the years, and you're always there for me. You and my father-in-law, Neil, y'all help us out when we need advice on some of these complicated planning strategies. So thanks very much for your time today, and we'll see you again soon.
Yes, sir, Jed. Thank you.
Investment advisory services offered through Together Planning. The firm only transacts businesses in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration as an investment advisor does not constitute an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators, nor does it indicate that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability. The tax information contained in this podcast is general in nature. Always consult a tax professional regarding your specific tax situation. Content should not be construed as personalized investment advice or as an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned.